Next presenter, Ann Bosek, is the Project Director for the Center of Evaluation and Applied Science of the New York Academy of Medicine.
Hey, so again, my name is Ann Bosek. I'm a Project Director for the Center for Evaluation and Applied Research at the New York Academy of Medicine, or NIAM. And NIAM is a nonprofit, non-governmental research and policy institution located in New York City. So today I'll be talking about the New York State YMCA Diabetes Prevention Program and the evaluation we did on it. And I have nothing to disclose. So I'm sure everyone is really familiar with the increasing prevalence and incidence of diabetes in the U.S., but just some numbers to remind you of the significance. There's approximately or a little over 8% of the U.S. population is diagnosed with diabetes. And the prevalence of diabetes is higher among some demographics. For example, African American and Latino adults have at least a 50% higher rate of diabetes than white Americans. And diabetes is very expensive for the U.S. It costs approximately $245 billion in medical expenditures and lost productivity every year. In addition, about one quarter to one third of adult Americans have prediabetes, which is a condition characterized by elevated blood sugar, but not high enough to be diagnosed with diabetes. But every year, 5 to 10% of Americans with prediabetes progress to diabetes. So prediabetes is a big problem as well, but within all of these large numbers, there is some hope because type 2 diabetes is often preventable. And research has shown just a modest reduction in weight of about 5 to 7%, as well as regular physical activity can reduce the rate of somebody or the risk of somebody developing type 2 diabetes by 58 to 71%. So what I'll be talking about today is the Diabetes Prevention Program. And the Diabetes Prevention Program is currently recognized by the CDC. It's a group-based lifestyle program, and it focuses on changes in nutrition, physical activity, and overall health behaviors. It's 16 weeks led by a trained lifestyle coach, and that's followed by monthly, 6 months of post-course sessions, what they're called. So the entire session is about 10 months, so it's lengthy, but we found that the length is really important to iterate and kind of drive home these changes in lifestyle. The Diabetes Prevention Program was originally implemented as part of a randomized controlled trial, and the intervention was compared to just standard care as well as medication management for prediabetes, and it was found to be more effective than both standard care and medication management in reducing the risk of developing diabetes. And the original Diabetes Prevention Program was implemented in a clinical setting, one-on-one, but to increase the outreach and reach a large number of people who have prediabetes, it's begun to be implemented in a group setting by community organizations. And community organizations, as well as clinical settings, can obtain CDC recognition to implement the program. So I'll be talking about an early translation of the program in a group setting in New York State YMCAs. And this was implemented between 2010 and 2012 in 14 YMCA sites throughout New York State. They were very diverse sites. Some were in very urban areas in New York City. Some were suburban. Some were rural. It was a collaboration between the New York State YMCA, the New York State Department of Health, and the New York State Health Foundation, and evaluated by us, the New York Academy of Medicine. The curriculum and outreach materials for the Diabetes Prevention Program in the New York State YMCAs was developed through a statewide advisory group convened by the Department of Health. And participants were primarily recruited through clinical partners, So when a patient would come into an office and a provider would find that they were diagnosed with prediabetes, they would refer them directly to the program, and then the YMCA would reach out to them to invite them to participate. So the objectives of the evaluation for the New York State YMCA Diabetes Prevention Program were in line with other evaluations of the DPP, but we wanted to expand upon existing evaluations to gain a little bit more knowledge about participant experiences as well as processes involved in implementation. And previous evaluations were also relatively small sample sizes, and the outcomes were limited primarily to weight loss and some clinical markers. So we expanded our evaluation to include changes in general health status, knowledge and behavior of participants, and then some process outcomes, including the strengths and weaknesses of referral mechanisms, any difficulties YMCAs had in implementing the program, and resources necessary for replication of the program. As well as just overall perceptions of the program among the participants and staff involved. So we conducted a mixed methods evaluation. Outcomes included attendance, weight, and physical activity, and those were documented weekly on trackers that the coaches would fill out. And those were our primary outcomes. We also conducted surveys with participants at baseline 16 weeks, which was the end of the core program, and 10 months after baseline, which was 6 months after program completion. We had 254 respondents from 26 classes, and we had a follow-up at 16 weeks of approximately 85%, so that was 217 people completed that survey, and a follow-up at 10 months of about 77%. Unfortunately, we didn't reach the 80% mark, but we had a relatively good follow-up for the sample size and kind of the physical diversity of the sites. We also conducted coach surveys at the end of each of the sessions. We conducted a site-level survey, which each of the YMCAs, clinical partner surveys, participant focus groups, and coach and coordinator interviews. So here's just an overview of the participant characteristics. The participants were middle-aged. They had a mean age of 57. Primarily female, 70%, primarily white, 80%, and they were also relatively middle income. Most were privately insured and had a primary care provider. And so I'd like to point out that one of the goals of the implementation of the YDPP was to reach underinsured or Medicaid populations, and from these outcomes we saw that that wasn't really happening. We were basically reaching middle class participants. And participants attended a mean of 10.6 of the 16 core sessions, so there was relatively good attendance throughout. So I'd like to talk about our weight outcomes. And the weight outcomes at 16 weeks, which was the end of the core program, was recorded by the coaches. So we used an intent-to-treat-like analysis, and if participants missed classes, we would use the last weight recorded by coaches. So it may be only a weight at the second class, but we used the most conservative approach. So we saw at 16 weeks that participants lost an average of 4.2% of their body weight, and the weight loss was higher among participants who attended more classes compared with classes who attended 1 through 8 sessions. Participants who attended 9 through 16 lost about 4% more body weight. We also saw that weight loss continued after the program, and this was actually based on self-report, so it's a little less accurate. But among all participants at 6 months after the program or 10 months after baseline, participants lost a mean of 6.3% body weight, and this was also still higher among participants who attended more classes. And the graph on the right shows decrease in BMI. And you can see the same pattern. Of course, participants who attended more classes did better. And we also performed a multivariate analysis, and this isn't on the slide, but we found that attendance was associated with higher weight loss. So this slide shows the proportion of participants who met the weight loss goal of 5 to 7%, which is weight loss associated with a decrease in the risk of developing diabetes. So the green colors show participants who met that weight loss goal. And you can see that at 16 weeks, or at the end of the core session of the program, about 15% of participants lost at least 5%, or 5 to 7% of their body weight, and almost 25% lost over 7%. And then 10 months after baseline, or 6 months after the program, about half of participants lost over 7% of their body weight. So these are really significant and promising numbers. And then next I have some outcomes with changes in health status. So we found out the participants, besides just losing weight, they were actually feeling better all around. So we asked participants to rate their health on a scale of excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor. And again, on the slide, the green colors are the good colors. And you can see, compared with baseline, at 16 weeks and 10 months, more participants were reporting that their health was very good or excellent. And we also performed statistical tests on these and found that these changes were significant, and they were significant in the positive direction of more participants reporting the excellent and very good outcomes. We also asked participants just qualitatively if their health was better than before the program, and at 10 months, 72% reported that their health was somewhat or much better than before the program. And we asked participants to rate their health on a scale of 0 to 100, and that number increased from 72% at baseline to 80% at 10 months, which is statistically significant increase. And participants also reported statistically significant fewer difficulties with mobility and pain after the program. And we also gathered some data about changes in knowledge and behavior. And participants reported that they were eating more fruit, grains, and vegetables after the program, that they were eating less fat, that they measure portion sizes when they eat. They can identify situations that cause them to eat unhealthy foods. They make healthier choices when dining out, and they will continue to make healthy choices. And pretty much across the board, close to 90% of participants reported that they were doing all of these things. It decreased slightly at the longer follow-up, but still a really large proportion were reporting that they were changing their behaviors in these ways. And at the bottom of the slide, I have some quotes from participants about their changes. So, for example, one says that I was eating more than I've ever had, and my knowledge of nutrition was nil. My diet plan was to switch from large fries to the regular size and eat light beer. It taught me basically how to eat properly. I lost about 30 pounds. My glucose went down 20%. And another participant said, I learned how to eat. Basically, I eat an apple instead of a bag of potato chips. It's more knowledge than anything else. So participants really expressed the changes in their lifestyle and behavior. We also talked to participants about what made this program unique, why it was so successful for them. And participants really enjoyed the group setting. They were able to share experiences with group members. For example, one participant said, I think the group was supported. If members were struggling or hitting obstacles that we all experienced, the group provided information about how other people were hitting some of the roadblocks. Participants also really praised the coaches. A lot of the coaches were existing Y staff, so they had experience implementing lifestyle and fitness programs, but then they received additional training for the YDPP implementation. So one participant said the success of the program in a large part is due to the coach's knowledge and competence, his sincere interest in the welfare of participants. He's taken quite a number of participants over the hump with things that stop them from proceeding. The participants really enjoyed the setting in the YMCA. They viewed it as healthy. They were able to access the fitness facilities there as well. So it really made motivated them to start participating in physical activity. And participants also found the length of the program to be important. At first, many of them were reluctant to join the program because it is a 4-month core program and then 6 months follow-up, so it's a lengthy program and it's a big commitment, but participants said that they really needed that time to make changes. We also looked at some of the resources required for implementing the program, and the major costs for the Ys were staff time, of course. The people that were coordinating in the program, so for example, the ones that were reaching out to the clinical partners and participants to enroll them, took about 8 hours per week during the startup period, and coaches spent about 4 hours per week during implementation. Wise also spent some money on reproducing materials and participants' incentives, for example, measuring cups, pedometers, and other items that encourage healthy behaviors. And the Wise also provided membership for the participants during the program, which isn't necessarily a large cost for them, but if participants were using the fitness facilities actively, it may have incurred some cost. And really briefly, I think I'm nearing the end of my time, but we talked to clinical partners about what they felt about the program and referring patients to the program. And the providers found that the YDPP was very important for them because it allowed them to address prediabetes, which was a condition that they weren't addressing before. If they found a patient diagnosed with prediabetes, they didn't really have a strategy to deal with that, so they could tell the participant to lose weight or start to exercise, but doctors always do that and it's often ignored. So the program gave providers something they could really do to address prediabetes. They could give the participant a referral, and then once they saw the positive outcomes in their patients that were referred, that really motivated them to continue to refer patients. So just here are also some quotes from the providers. So for example, one said, clinically, disease screening isn't done if there's no intervention available. I think knowing that the YDPP was available made providers more alert and active in diagnosing and selecting interventions. So I'd just like to give a brief summary of the results. We had some limitations in our study. The participants who did not complete the follow-up surveys were more likely to be younger, more likely to be minorities, and they had less education and lower incomes. So we had less follow-up data regarding those participants that were most at risk for diabetes, unfortunately. We also lacked a control group, so we don't know what would have happened if people did not receive the intervention. And we didn't gather any information on follow-up clinical values, so we don't know if participants actually changed their A1Cs. But just from anecdotal evidence, some of the participants did tell us they decreased their blood sugar and made changes to their medication after the program. But overall, we found that the statewide implementation was successful due to the capacity of the New York State YMCA and the New York State Department of Health, and they had the ability to roll out this program on a statewide level and in multiple regions and reach a large number of participants. And our results were consistent with other research of the diabetes prevention program. Participants lost about the same amount of weight, which was good. That was what we wanted to see. And overall, the program was really well received among participants. Again, the important components we found to be the length of the program, the setting in the YMCA, the group setting, and the role of the coaches. But we discovered that there was a low proportion of low-income and minority populations participating in it. And these two quotes at the bottom are from a couple of participants who actually felt affected by the low number of minorities and low-income participants, and they felt less welcome because of this. So it kind of highlights the need to tailor the program to reach these populations, whether it be different recruitment mechanisms or making small modifications to the curriculum or delivering it in different settings. So I'd just like to thank our partners, the New York State Health Foundation and the New York State Department of Health, as well as all the participants and staff members who gave us important information for the evaluation. And here's my contact information if you have any questions.
First question.
Do I have time?
Yes.
Fantastic. Any contribution to this issue is always really important, and so good work.
Thanks.
Two questions. I hope it wasn't addressed and I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. One, what was the mean BMI of the group when you started? And then secondly, the recruitment process. And the concern would be, like, what level of motivation did they bring to this at the outset by virtue of choosing to participate?
So the starting mean BMI, I don't know that off the top of my head, but I can tell you afterwards. I have that on my phone. So I would be happy to tell you that. And the motivation,
Can you tell me in general?
In order to be enrolled in the TTT, you have to have a BMI of 25. It's a little less for Asian Americans.
Yeah, I think it's 20 for Asians.
25
BMI. So more than the obese individual.
25 is not more than
Right.
There were plenty of participants who were very obese, well over 25. Yeah.
And then the recruitment, just in general, what was the level of motivation they brought to it, which obviously influenced the
other? Right. Well, just through talking to the participants, it seemed like an important part was just being told by the provider that they had prediabetes and were at risk of developing diabetes. A lot of the participants had friends or family members who had diabetes, so they saw the impact firsthand that the disease can cause. So some participants said that they actually lost weight before the program started, but then the program gave them the tools to make sustained changes in their lifestyle so they wouldn't gain weight afterwards. But I think those were the rare cases where participants were actually losing weight before the program. But yeah, the motivation was really key motivation at the outset, which I found to be associated with that diagnosis in a clinical setting.
I know you're looking at diabetes, but did you have any outcomes with smoking cessation?
No, yeah, we didn't. The program doesn't address that, and we didn't gather any information about smoking.
So, Alicia, I don't know, maybe I missed that. So you use a CDC-based PPP curriculum?
Yeah, well, this was implemented before the CDC had fully developed their version of the curriculum, but this curriculum is essentially the same. It was developed by the same people. So the CDC version has some slight changes, but very minor.
So since this is the diabetes prevention or management program, but right now the work you are doing is actually pre-diabetes management. Intervention kind of. So,
yeah.
I'm wondering maybe you have a little freedom or rule to maybe form partnership with the maybe healthcare system or maybe clinical settings to maybe try to see any maybe outcome since you know you concerned about the evaluation part. Maybe you might be looking to maybe practice report level for the members. So really, you know, that kind of outcome data would be maybe more motivating to get.
Yeah, and those are important outcomes to look at, but unfortunately we didn't have the resources in this study. But to be eligible for the program, at least 50% of participants have to have the clinical diagnosis of diabetes based on blood work, and then the other half have to score at high risk for diabetes just based on a survey. But other studies have looked at the changes in clinical outcomes, and they've seen reductions. That's where that 50 to 70% reduction in diabetes comes from. That was a large national randomized controlled trial looking at the effects of the program, and they looked at changes in A1C before and after. We are submitting a manuscript currently, so it'll be on there. But if you have any questions, feel free to talk to me, and I can give you more data.
How many years is this of neurostimulation has been program? And out of the 250 participants for your survey, is that a total number of people participating, or?
Yeah, so this was at the beginning of the process of the New York State YMCA's implementing the program, and they've continued to implement it since then. And I'm not sure how many participants they've had. This started in 2010. Yeah, and it's also being implemented nationally by YMCAs across the country, as well as in other community and clinical settings.
One question.
Really fast. You mentioned costs associated with the implementation of the program. Do you have a ballpark figure per site?
Yeah, well, per participant, a lot of sites are saying approximately $300. I've seen up to $600 per participant.
More questions after the session.
Thank you.